Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure, in the absence of Neil, who's off this weekend, to extend a very warm welcome to you all. To those who are visiting with us, a very, very special welcome. And we hope and trust that as we all come to worship God this morning, we may all feel his presence very close to everybody. Just a few announcements. First of all, can I say a big, big thank you to those who helped in any way to the farm model show and Doll's House exhibition on Friday evening. If you haven't been there, you missed a great night. And a big thanks to those who helped to set up and clear up, and also those who within our congregation helped to bring their farm model show. I didn't realise there was some people in our church had that, so they brought it in their Doll's House and just added to the atmosphere. And £1,450 was raised, and it's absolutely astounding, and it was very, very good. So again, a big, big thanks for that. Moving on then to Saturday night, we're having a fellowship evening for our church, and we're going to Dundonald Ice Bowl, either to skate or to ten-pin bowl, whatever you like to do. There is some like 80 people going so far. If you'd like to go, still see John or Sander this morning. And if you can, possibly pay up your fees before that. Now, the plan is that we'll leave here at 6 p.m. We have to be up there for 6:45. Now, if you have a full car load and are going up straight away, please speak to Sander and John and just let them know that you will meet up there. So that's Saturday night up at the Ice Bowl. Then the Bible studies, a fortnight's time, we'll be studying today's sermon, Acts 12, just letting the leaders know and all those who go to Bible study. Today's sermon in Acts 12, we'll be looking at that passage, Acts 12. And then on the 7th of March in the Belfast Bible College, there is an introduction to the precept way of studying the Bible. And if you want to find out more about that or to go along to that, if you speak to Norman, and he will facilitate you in that way. And finally, as we all know, we're electing a new committee on at the present time. The voting papers has to be in for next Sunday. If you haven't voted yet, please do so. And I think it's very important that you all vote, because it just shows that everybody has an interest in it and we have the true aspect of the whole church. So if you haven't voted, please put it in for next Sunday. And the voting box is in the vestibule. I think that's all the announcements this morning. And in the absence, Neil, we welcome, you know, it's normally we welcome a new person into the church to take over the pulpit, but we're not welcoming a new person, we're welcoming one of our own. And I said that this morning, no matter how long he's away, he's still one of our own, and we're going to keep him. And it's Robert, and Robert's his assistant at Ballylinney, outside Ballyclare, and he's halfway through assistantship. So I think he has not come out. What is it?
Eligible.
He's eligible come September 2016. Yeah, I think you have to be very careful. He's not coming out for it. He's not in, really. But we do certainly welcome Robert, and we wish him God's blessing in his ministry in Ballylinney and also this morning. Very welcome, Robert.
George, thank you very much for your warm words of welcome. It is lovely to be here this morning, to be with you this morning and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to say, I'm feeling old this morning. It's the first time I've been here when I'm not a student. I'm not having to worry about exams or assignments. I'm a full-time assistant now in Ballylinney and Ballyclare, and it's fantastic to be along here this morning, see some familiar faces and also some new faces as well. It's fantastic. Myself, Gillian, and little Alistair are really enjoying life up in Ballylinney, learning plenty of this busy time. And Alistair is perfecting two skills at the minute in time. He's usually trying to be the first at the biscuit table after church, and he's very good at reading out drawers for his mum and dad at home as well. He's perfecting those two skills. But it's lovely to be with you here this morning to worship. And let us worship our God. The words of the psalmist says this. In Psalm 18, he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." Later on in our service, we're going to be seeing how God saves his people. But it is here now, as we come to recognize these words, is the God that we look to worship this morning. We're going to do that with our first item of praise. This is the day we'll stand to sing.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad.
Another sign of getting older is you've got glasses now to bring with you as well. Let us pray to our God. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the reason for us being here this morning to praise your great and mighty name. The psalmist describes you in many ways: my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my salvation, and my stronghold. And we thank you, Father, that this morning we can know you in all of these ways through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you do not leave us to live our lives on our own. You speak powerfully through your words. And we thank you that your word is able to direct and to guide us each day. You are the one who cares deeply about your creation, and from the start of time, you made a way for it to be brought back to yourself. We thank you that there is no power like you in our world. You are the one who gives and takes away. You are the one who is in control, and we can know you through Jesus. Father, throughout our daily lives, we encounter many different experiences. We face battles to trust you with these experiences. But we thank you that you are present in each of them. We thank you that we can bring these matters to you in prayer. Even the most trivial of matters, we can bring before you. We thank you that you care about us and are able to guide us and direct us. Father, forgive us for those times that we do not put our trust in you. It can be also easy sometimes to depend on our own strength. Father, we ask you to help us this morning to know about your abundant grace throughout our daily lives. Father, we pray all these things. And we pray that as we continue in our worship service, that we may know of your Spirit guiding us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Prayer is such a powerful thing, and our next hymn embraces this thought as we stand to sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Following on in the series I believe you're doing at the minute in time in Acts, we're going to be looking at Acts 12 this morning. And can I encourage you please to pick up your pew Bibles? The reading is on page number 1106 on the pew Bibles, and it's also on the screen as well, I see. I'll keep my glasses off and read it down here instead of trying to see it there, because that'll not work. But we're going to be looking at this fantastic story of these two powers at work, King Herod and the living God. Let us look at this story in Acts 12, starting from verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be grounded by four squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quickly, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. But when she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be an angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him. And they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there for a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they had now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they had depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on the throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." And immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. And here we end our reading of God's word. Could I invite the young people to come down to the front, and I will meet you there. Thank you. Tire away a wee bit because I might get a bit of action up here. Wow, they just keep coming and coming. Good morning, boys and girls. It is very, very good to see you all here this morning. It's great to see so many of you. I was just telling Scott that he might want to move that very lovely guitar away a wee bit because there's a bit. I'm going to have a bit of action here this morning, and I would hate to see something happen to that lovely guitar of his as well. Do you want to come on across a wee bit? Come on across, because there's plenty more coming down. They really do keep coming and coming, don't they? You can come across here as well. Come on over here this way. Brilliant. Are you all keeping well? You look very well. You look very happy. Well, I've got something in a bag here this morning. Something that you may have went out to the shop to buy yesterday, but maybe in a different color. I went to the shop, and I couldn't get any red ones, but I got some blue ones. Balloons? Did anybody get any red balloons yesterday? You got a red Valentine's card. Wow. A balloon as well. Very, very good. Well, I couldn't find any red ones yesterday. They were all sold out, but I got some blue ones instead. You did? There was plenty of shops that were all sold out of them. Answer me this question. What is inside this balloon? Air. Now, what does air look like? You can't see it, sure you can. It doesn't look like anything because it's all around us and we can't see. And you know, in that story this morning, there was a church that we read about. We're trusting in a power that they couldn't see, but they knew that it was there. They knew that God was present. And they continued to pray for their friend who was in prison. And what happened? We see the hand of God, something that couldn't be seen, freed Peter from prison, freed their prayer, and answered their prayers. Now, I want you to help me this morning. I want to split you in a couple of groups, okay? So we're going to split down this way. So you can go that way, and you can go that. This is the team here. And then we'll split. You can go this way too. We'll have to be very careful here this morning, okay? But you have to help each other. Just as you're sitting, I'm going to give you a balloon each, okay? A balloon each in your team. So you can take one. And I want you to do something for me. Now be very careful, okay? And even the members of the congregation can help you. I want you to keep it up in the air, just what you're doing there. Throw it up, but you have to keep it up in the air, okay? So your team can help you. Just keep hitting it up in the air, okay? Go. See how you can keep it up. Keep it up. Oh, watch. Right, keep going, keep going, keep it up. That's it. That's brilliant. Fantastic. And go make it more trickier. There's another one. You might want to watch the laptop as well, Scott. There's another one, right? Keeping them up. Okay, I want you to catch them. Catch them and hold on to them. Brilliant. Right, hold on to them. Brilliant, right, okay, sit back down again. Sit back down again. Right, I need two volunteers. Two volunteers, you come up and you come up as well, okay? Brilliant. Because I've got two more balloons. And I want you to keep them up in there for me, okay?
Okay.
You ready? So here's one. Hold that there. And hold on tight. Do you see it? Okay. Hold that there. Right. You keep this one up, okay? And you keep that one up, okay? Oh, goodness. You're doing really well, aren't you? Now, how come I don't let them go because I don't know if we can get up there to get them, okay? There's a couple of people nodding in the congregation. Hold tightly onto them. How come you had to keep those balloons up, but these balloons stay up all by themselves?
Because they will have helium in them.
Oh, very good. These balloons look the same, don't they? But they stay up all by themselves, don't they? They stay up all by
themselves.
Yeah, they've got heavier air, what helps them to stay up. It's called helium. And you know, that's a little bit like our lives, too. There's people that we'll always spend time. Oh, I knew it was always going to happen. It was always going to happen. There's people that spend so much time getting right with God by their own strength, trying to keep pushing up, trying to stay on that level to be right in God's eyes. But what the Bible teaches us is a little bit like these balloons, that we can be at God's level all the time through Jesus, through trusting in his life. No matter what is going on in our own lives, we are right in God's eyes. We're always at his level because of what Jesus has done for us. Can you remember that for me this morning? Yeah? You remember the balloons that floated and the balloons that didn't? We're going to sing a song this morning as well. I'm going to take the balloons back again, if that's okay. You might get them at the end again, okay? Excellent. And we're going to stand to sing a song, okay? We're going to stand to sing a song that is in another story in Acts called Peter and John Went to Pray. And we will stand to sing this. It is now time, I think, for the children to go out to Sunday school, okay? It's always dangerous territory, bringing something for children to talk, but not having enough for every child. So I think it's safer just to take them back again rather than let them loose with it. It's now time in our service to receive our offering. Thank you.
Dear Father, we do give you thanks for the many blessings we receive in life from you. And we pray, as we give these tokens of our dedication to you, that you may use them to further your kingdom, that you may use them in this place to glorify your name. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. It's now time in service to pray for others, and I'm going to call on Michelle to pray.
Let us pray. Father, what a privilege this morning to come into your holy presence and to intercede for others. Thank you that as we come, it is through our great High Priest who intercedes for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord over all, in all, and above all. And so in your name we come to pray. Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides, we pray for the Trussell Trust vision to see a food bank in every UK town, creating a nation where no one has to go hungry. We pray for those who are in the process of setting up food banks, that they will have the tenacity to overcome all obstacles. For our local food bank, Father, we pray it will never go short of resources to help those most vulnerable and at risk in our community. Jehovah Nissi, our God who fights the battle. Today, Father, we pray for those who battle in their minds, whose mental health is affected by worry, depression, paranoia, or fear. You promise us that the battle is not ours, but yours, O Lord. And we ask that in the darkness of despair, you will shine your light of hope, joy, and peace. For those in our congregation today, Father, who are battling in their thinking, reasoning, and perception, we pray right now that you will win the battle and bring your peace as they fix their minds upon you. Jehovah Shalom, our God who gives peace. Father, we bring the country of Ukraine to you at this time. As this tenuous ceasefire has been enacted from yesterday evening, we ask you, Jehovah Shalom, to bring liberation, restoration, and peace to a nation which is at war with Russia. We thank you that what is impossible with man is possible with you, and in your mercy we seek your blessings upon the plans of man for swift peace and reconciliation in this nation. Jehovah Rophi, our God who heals, within our congregation and community, Father, you know all who are ill, those who have been through surgery, those who wait for an operation. Father, you know those who care 24/7 for relatives who have long-term ill health conditions. And you know, Father, how draining that role can be. We thank you for the medical profession, the myriad range of drugs and care services that are available, all of which contribute to man's healing and recovery. Yet, Father, today we also pray for your touch. For by your stripes, we can know your healing. And so, Father, we just now silently, in this moment, lift the name of one person we know who needs your healing touch today. Jehovah Tiskenu, our God of righteousness, we pray that righteousness and justice will be exalted in our nation. We ask that our political leaders, those who operate our judicial and security systems, and for all those who govern in our land, that they would be men and women of righteousness, integrity, and goodness. We pray that as soon we approach these elections in May, that you will direct and lead us to vote for those who are your choice to lead our nation. We ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to revive this land, beginning with us. And in particular, we pray for the young people, the next generation of our nation, that a revival of righteousness would break out for your glory. Jehovah Shammah, our God who is ever present. Oh, Father, today we pray for the family of 13-year-old Oisin McGrath, who so tragically died this week. We cannot even begin to appreciate their grief, yet you are there with them right now, ever present in their sorrow and loss. And Father, you promise that you will never leave them nor forsake them, that you will continue to be ever present. May they know your comfort and strength. And for the school staff, pupils, parents, and all those affected by this tragedy, we pray your presence and comfort for this day and in the days to come. Jehovah Rohi, our God, the Good Shepherd, lead us, we pray, in this congregation and community. Lay on our hearts those for election to our church committee, and for those to be elected, that they will be obedient to your call and will. Good Shepherd, guide each and every one of us in this church family beside the still waters. Restore our souls and lead us in your way everlasting. Father, we pray for our wider Presbyterian family across Ireland, that we may know, we may in all the acts of service and mission be a flock worthy to declare and own the name of Jesus Christ in our lives. Thank you, Father, for hearing these prayers. Jesus, thank you for interceding on our behalf. And Holy Spirit, thank you for directing our hearts and mind this morning to pray for the needs of others. Cause us, Father, this week to walk in the Spirit, to serve others, to honor you in all that we do and say for your glory. And in your mighty names, we bring these requests with thanksgiving before you now. Amen.
Michelle, thank you very much for leading us so wonderfully in prayers for others. We're going to stand to sing again now, My Jesus, My Savior.
Jesus.
I encourage you to take up the Pew Bibles again, back to that reading in Acts 12, as we're going to look at it a little bit closer now in our service. While we're doing that, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you that it is a light to our feet. Lord, we pray as we look at your word here now, that we may know of you speaking to us through it very powerfully. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I believe there are some boxing fans in the congregation. It's becoming a major sport down here, I think, if well, I'm right. But I want to draw your attention to a world-class fight of the year where two world-class boxers met back Monday, the 27th of June, 1988. Now, my memory's a little bit hazy of this. I was six at the time. But Mike Tyson and Michael Spinks was the boxing match. Two boxers who were both undefeated. Each had a claim at being the legitimate heavyweight boxer champion of the world. At the time, Tyson held all the belts, but Spinks was worldly regarded as a ring champion. It was held in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and it was promoted the fight once for all. It was the richest fight in boxing history at that time, grossing $70 million, of which Tyson earned 20 and Spinks earned 13.5. He got the raw deal, didn't he? There were 600,000 households who bought the fight on pay-per-view, and there was a further 20,000 people who went to see the fight live. And this is it. Tyson won the fight in 91 seconds. He knocked him out in 91 seconds. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a very expensive 91 seconds to go and watch a boxing match. At least a football match of 90 minutes to endure. 91 seconds, he knocked him out. It is worthy regarded as the biggest boxing mismatch of all time. That it didn't even last one round, and Tyson took him out. And this morning, as we look at this passage, we have another contrast in two different powers. And at the end, we see it is also a complete mismatch. We have a contrast between the political power wielded by Herod and the sovereign supernatural power of God. The political power comes from King Herod, someone who is seen to be an able administrator and negotiator. But even though he is king, he was put in his position by the Roman emperor at this time. And he had been very keen, he was a puppet king, and he was being very keen to keep large groups of people on his side. And we see the reason why he goes against the Christian church very early on in our reading in verse 3. He says, when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter. He was a man who craved the power and praise from people, something that in end would kill him. The Roman Empire was the real ruler at this time. And reading a book about the Roman Empire, it says this, that Nike was the religion of Rome. Just do it. Offer your sacrifices. Go your way. Live your life. Don't give the gods a second thought, for they're not concerned about you. It sounds very relevant to our own day at times, doesn't it, when we hear something like that? There would have been many words of King Herod saying that he supported the Jewish religion, but it was always a way of gaining their support so he could stay in control. In verse 1, we see Herod in a very strong position and the Christian church in a real difficult time. In verses 1 to 5, we see the young Christian church in dark days. In the chapter before this, we read there was a famine in the country. Two of the disciples who were closest to the Lord Jesus were taken by Herod, James and Peter. And James was executed. And Peter was in prison, waiting the same fate. Before this, in the book of Acts, the church had experienced many great times, seeing some great conversions. The 3,000 people in the day of Pentecost, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Gentile centurion, and probably most powerfully of all, Saul of Tarsus. They had witnessed God's power. They experienced great fellowship between one another, looking to be strong together in the Lord Jesus. But even before this has started, there was also real persecution in the church at this time. And the ruling powers at this time must have thought that they had quashed this small rising of Christian people, and they would hear no more about it, taking their two most influential leaders. What was going to happen to the Christian church? Would the temptation of going back to their old way of life entice them? No. We are given the response in verse 5 of them. The church was earnestly praying to God for Peter. From these first 5 verses, it shatters the impression, doesn't it, that when you become a Christian, everything will be comfortable and easy in life. These people were experiencing real suffering. And at this point, there was no way to indicate that it was going to stop. It is in these times on which people find what their trust is in. What do you do in times of trouble? We see that this young church do the only thing that they know will help. They commit themselves to the prayer for their leader, Peter. Then, in verses 6 to 25, we are shown that even in times of difficulty, God is still in control. The prayers of God's people are effective, and he acts in a miraculous way to free Peter. It shows us, firstly, that there is no power on earth that will come match God's power. It's quite funny to see the depths that Herod goes to guard Peter. Peter is a prized prisoner for Herod. He would gain a lot of favor from the Jewish people for rescuing him. And Luke emphasizes this in the passage that we read of Herod's security arrangements for Peter. The 4 squad of soldiers in verse 4, the soldiers' chains and sentries in verse 6, the 2 lines of guards that Peter passed and the iron gate that he went through in verse 10, all there to keep this prized prisoner. But all of this could not stop God's angel leading Peter to his release. And as we see the account of Peter's release, we also see how content he is. The angel had to physically wake him in order to get him out. It's quite comical, isn't it, when you see Peter lying in this prison and the angel, "I've come to rescue you, Peter." And he's snoring away and it has to be zapped or something to get him awake. The verse tells us that the angel struck Peter to wake him. Now, if there's anyone in this sermon this morning that is feeling a little bit like Peter, the person beside them has my permission to be the angel at this time, okay? But seriously, we can see how content Peter is with his fate. He's not expecting this miraculous release. He's willing to go and meet his fate. And someone else isn't really expecting his release either, are they? The church at this time who have been eagerly praying for Peter. The church has been putting so much effort into their prayers that when it is answered, they are in disbelief also. The servant girl, Rhoda, is so excited at seeing Peter that instead of letting him into safety, she forgets to and runs away to tell the others, leaving him outside in danger. Then also, when she tries to tell the rest of them, at first, they think that she's out of her mind. And then secondly, they think it must be an angel. They cannot get their head around that God must answer their prayer. We see
that their prayers are effective, but they still have much to learn. And it shows us that in God's grace, he does not depend on our faithfulness to answer our prayers. In this passage, the picture of faith in Jesus is from Peter. For throughout Peter's walk with the Lord, he continues to grow and grow. Just before this passage, in the last chapter, Peter learns that God indeed has granted salvation unto the Gentiles, with him meeting that centurion, the Gentile centurion, Cornelius. But now in this chapter, Peter also learns that God is wanting him to be free from prison. God still has a plan for Peter's life. Where James has gone to be with the Lord, Peter, God still has plans for Peter's earthly life. It sometimes can be confusing when we see God taking some and leaving others. Yet what this passage is showing us this morning, that God indeed is in control of all these things. Peter continued to learn till the end of his earthly days about following the Lord Jesus. But King Herod also comes to see that God is in control. By the end of this passage, he is struck down and killed. Someone who at the start of our passage is a picture of authority. Nothing could touch him. He is the one who has the right to say when people eat and don't eat. And by the end of the passage, he is worm food. He is a food for the worms. His ruthless side is shown by the way he deals with Peter's former guards in verse 19, putting them to death. And he went on then to another trade agreement, thinking nothing of it. But when the praise is loaded onto him, he soaks it up and enjoys every minute of it. Then we are given the reason for his death, because he did not give the true God the praise. In the end, we are shown how it is not the rule of Herod that grows, but the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's word continues to spread. Throughout this book of Acts, we see how the message of Jesus grows and grows throughout many different people and cultures. The church that seemed so close to extinction at the start of this chapter is now re-energized, ready to grow and grow more. God's power is not limited to local people or a certain group of people. It is there to be shared, and nothing can stop it from spreading. Even today, this same gospel message is continuing to grow. It may not seem like it sometimes, but God is still speaking powerfully through his word. And his kingdom is continuing to grow. God's ultimate end is to glorify himself through the progress of his gospel. He is a loving, caring shepherd of his sheep, and he deals decisively with those who oppose the gospel. That's what this passage is showing us here this morning. But let me take a couple of minutes as we finish to take you back to that boxing match that I was speaking about earlier. I wonder what was going through the boxer's mind. I'm sure some of the amateur boxers in the congregation could shed a bit more light on it. But I'm sure they both had nerves coming to the ring. Have I done enough training? Is the other guy stronger than me? What happens if I get hit first? Whatever was in their minds, one of them left the ring the winner. The other was left broken and defeated. We're told that Spinks retired a month after that match, not able to fight again. When we think of our own lives here in this passage, we are given two ways here to live. Herod has the puppet king, who was always looking for ways to make himself more powerful. He longed for praise from others and would do anything for it. Even to get on top, even when he was on top, he looked to crush those who went against him. His life was based on what he could do to stay ahead. But in the end, that pushing for control cost him his own life. When the powerful hand of God came down against him, he was no match. On the other hand, we have the young Christian church. They are in real difficulties, but know that there is another hand at work in their circumstances that they are facing. They are not going to give up on the living God that they have come to know. Even when the odds seem stacked against them, they continue to trust in him, committing themselves to prayer. In the end, they see God answer that prayer. God has not deserted them. He has continued to work out his purposes. His power is displayed so that his word may be spread across the land. It is this God that we can trust with our own lives also. He has given us a way through Jesus. And in Jesus, we see the love of God displayed. In Jesus, we see the power of God displayed. Let us pray. Father, we do give you thanks that through your words you display your great power to us. And Lord, we pray that every aspect of our lives we bring before you, knowing that it is only when we are trusting in you that we may have that sense of peace, that sense that you are the one who is in control. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God works all things out for his glory. And we're going to sing a hymn as we finish this morning, which displays that. To God be the glory.
Oh,
finish with the words of the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.